It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, I have to say that it is going to be a slimy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful seal. So this is a very, very special listener episode dedicated to Emily and Gage. You guys both wrote in for the seal. This episode wouldn't be possible without you guys that wrote in, and it certainly wouldn't be possible for all of you out there listening. So thank you so much for writing in. If you want to have your animal on the podcast, you can write into Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram or send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. So I have quite an awesome announcement for you guys. I have gotten enough requests for me to open up a P.O. box. So you guys can send me letters or fan mail or drawings or anything you'd like to send. And I'll be posting that P.O. box on the Instagram page. If you don't have Instagram, you can always feel free to send me an email. I'll be more than happy to send you the details if you or your kids want to send something to the show. And every month on the Patreon, I will be having a Q&A, like a question and answer, where you guys can log on and ask me anything that you would like, and also where I will be opening up the fan mail that you guys sent me for that month. I will also be making a lesson series bi-weekly on the Patreon, where I will be answering whatever your questions might be about our friends from all around the world and maybe some of the quirky things they do. And I'll be trying to do this in as engaging a way as possible. The lesson series is going to be for all ages, so if you're a parent who wants to learn something new and you also want your kids to learn something new, this extra content, so it'll be two video episodes a month, this extra content will be for you. And I will be starting that lesson plan in around 3 weeks from now, so I will be sure to give you guys updates as I go along and when it is finally live. I know many of you have asked me to make more content, so I decided that is what I'm going to do. So it is going to be a video lesson series where we can all learn together about maybe some of the things that you are confused about or would just like to learn more about. So let's go straight into a review. This is also a special episode because we just reached 50 reviews on Apple Podcasts all around the world. So that is just so amazing. I thank you very much for your guys' continued support. So this is coming from a user all the way from Finland. The user's name is KDIFBFUD, almost like Kadif Bud, maybe? I'm not sure if I said that right. I'm sure I'll get an email about that. So they write, I really love your podcast, and it really calms me down when I'm trying to sleep and in the stress of the world. I was thinking if you could do an episode about the Saimaa, ringed sea, and seals in general. Wow, okay, so now I just realized that this episode is also dedicated to you as well. They are really interesting, at least in my opinion. Thank you for doing this podcast. Thank you for the very wonderful message. And look at that. That is three people that wrote in about the seal. And one of them was in the reviews, and I didn't even notice until now. So I hope you enjoy your episode as well. If you want to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, it's about one of the biggest things that you can do for the show. So as always, I'm going to start off just by saying where I got my facts from for this episode. I got it from NationalGeographic.com, TreeHugger.com, and WHOI.edu. If you want to learn more about these animals and you want to research more about it yourself, there is always going to be the links in the show notes of the episodes so you guys can go and check out these resources. So no more dilly-dallying. I want all of you to sort of scan through your body wherever you are. You might be laying in bed. You might be walking around. It might be a nice day, or maybe it's at the end of your day. Who knows? I want you to scan through your body and sort of notice maybe where you're carrying some tension. So for me today, it seems like it's almost in maybe my chest and my shoulder, almost my neck area as well. So I'm going to be doing this with you here. I want you to go through and relax those parts of your body as best as you can. Don't force anything. Just allow yourself to go into this immersive experience with me, Steph Wolf, into the Atlantic and Arctic waters where the seals reside. So for the first fact of the episode, we are going to learn that the seal is part of a group known as the pinnipeds, and there are 33 species of pinnipeds alive today. Now, I know some people pronounce this pinnipeds, but I like pinnipeds. It just sounds a bit better to me. I'm not sure if it's just because it's sort of it sounds more like a whimsical kind of thing, and the seals are kind of whimsical. Why don't we give them some credit? Well, Pinnipedia is made up of three main groups. One of them is the walrus, which is also another amazing animal for the show. The other one is eared seals, and the last one are earless seals, known as true seals or Phocidae. As we might learn as we go on today, earless seals have ears. They are just very well hidden beneath the surface of their skin. And in terms of the eared seals, you might know some of them, including the sea lion, one of my favorite creatures, and the fur seal. Now, just while I'm on this point, I know that many of you want me to do more specific animals rather than doing the broader groups. And just to let you know that in season 4, that is exactly what we're going to be doing. So no worries, that is coming. Pinnipeds can be found on every continent on Earth, though most species occur in cold water environments. So these guys love the cold, and I have to tell you that I do as well. But for them, it is because they have blubber, which is very thick layers of fat, which will keep the animals warm in addition to dense fur. Walruses are going to be an exception to the rule because they are very large tusked pinnipeds and have very sort of hairless bodies. But anyways, enough with the walruses. Today is all about the seal. And the seals can range very greatly in size, from the gargantuan southern elephant seal, which can weigh more than a pickup truck, to the relatively slender 100-pound Baikal seal. I have to say, if you haven't seen an elephant seal, not necessarily in person, I don't imagine many of you have seen it in person. Just like me, I have had to Google image search and find videos of it. The elephant seal is one of those animals that you just are in shock by looking at. It is one of the most amazing creatures I have ever seen, and its sheer strength and size is something to just wonder and gawk at. And with so much time spent in the water, some species, like the elephant seal, has the ability to hold their breath for up to 2 hours and dive to depths of more than 6,500 feet when they are looking for food. And we are going to be going into exactly how this is possible. Not only that they can go so deep, but the fact that they can hold their breath this long. Because to hold your breath that long, and when you're diving that deep, there are many more mechanisms at play than just lung capacity. So in a second, we are going to be going to that. So all seals will eat other animals. These guys are not vegetarian, and they will mostly rely on fish caught out at sea, but a few species break the mold. So I guess you could say that the seal is sort of pescatarian, although they probably don't get many leafy greens along with that, just strictly fish. For instance, leopard seals make a living hunting down penguins and even other seals. So penguins are an animal that we learned about on the podcast as well. And while they may be cute, this is the wild and the seals have to eat. There is also a species of pinniped known as the crab-eater seal, which lives in Antarctica. However, these animals don't eat crabs at all. Not the kind that you would think, at least. Instead, these seals will use highly specialized teeth to filter water for tiny, abundant crustaceans known as Antarctic krill. So you can see how this seal is sort of specially designed to be in the area in which it is. Now, if we were to rattle around in our brains a little bit and think about what do you think the seal would be closest related to genetically? And if you were thinking about bears, skunks, or badgers, you get a special prize because I certainly did not have them in mind. Evolutionary biologists have been arguing over the origins of seals for quite some time, indeed more than a century. The current theory is that pinnipeds evolved from land-dwelling carnivores, and scientists are divided on the precise steps at which this occurred. So it is always interesting to learn about the genetic relativity of a couple of the animals that we've already learned on the show. Mothers and pups bond with a unique call. Researchers performed vocalization playback experiments on 18 breeding female harbor seals to assess their abilities to recognize calls of their specific pup and to evaluate the effect of maternal protectiveness. So for any of you mothers out there, we know just how protective mothers can be of their young, and the seals are of no exception. They found that mothers were more responsible to the calls of their own pup than to non-filial pups after only 3 days. And the mother seal's responses also varied depending on their protective behavior displayed towards their pup. So that is just super, super interesting. And there are species of seals in which the young are more mobile and the colonies are more dense and more likely to strongly develop vocal recognition abilities. So recognition and bonding is always going to be a super crucial role to many animals. And in fact, many of the animals that we've already learned about in previous episodes do just that. So similarly to the penguin, in which we alluded to earlier, in which the penguin is able to distinguish the call of its mate in a sea of other penguins squawking and making noises and from really far away. So recognition abilities are going to be very important for seals as well. Now let's dive into exactly how they are able to stay underwater for such a long time. One of the physiological changes that happen in their body is that their brain temperature will drop as they dive. Research on hooded seals illustrated a drop in brain temperature by 3 degrees Celsius over the course of a 15-minute dive. Now, 3 degrees might not seem like a lot, but for us as human beings, we have about a 37-degree average core body temperature. Now, if we were to subtract 3 degrees from that, we would be in a very, very critical state of hypothermia. Hypothermia for us kicks in at around 35 degrees Celsius, meaning that a 2-degree temperature drop in our core body temperature results in hypothermia. So when we say that their brain temperature drops by 3 degrees Celsius, that is not a small number. So this process is designed to reduce oxygen consumption by the brain, contributing to how it is able to stay underwater for such a long time. The seals will circulate cold blood to the brain through the large superficial veins from their front flippers, ultimately reducing the brain's oxygen demand by an estimated 15 to 20%. And this will allow a seal to dive for quite a lot longer. So it's going to extend its diving capacity by a very good amount and will provide additional protection against hypoxic injury. For those of you wondering what hypoxic means, I know it sounds like sort of an odd word. It almost sounds like a Pokemon, to be honest. But hypoxic is just going to be referring to oxygen sort of deprivation. So hypoxia is going to be a condition in which an area of the body or a region of the body is deprived of the adequate oxygen supply that it needs. So the seal is going to have mechanisms to stop that from happening. You might be wondering, how often do they give birth? We cover gestation periods on this show all the time, and I think it's one of those things that is always very interesting. Well, a female seal, which is called a cow, not like the moo cow, but that is just what researchers will sometimes refer to them as, will give birth to one pup about once a year or so on land. The pups are then nursed anywhere between 4 days and 1 month. Most mother seals will not eat while they are nursing, relying instead on that handy blubber store that they have for nutrition. So as we see here, seals are going to be really taking advantage of this blubber that they have, as many other sea creatures do. They're going to use it for warmth, and they're going to use it for food supply when maybe they don't have the option to go hunting. The pups are going to be requiring a lot of the mother's attention, and maybe she won't be able to go out and hunt. Seals can also sleep underwater and can even surface to breathe without waking. Can you even imagine something like that? That they have become just so accustomed to doing that they can do it without even blinking an eye or opening an eye in that matter. So we are going to go to the final fact of the episode, which is, what does the word seal mean? Well, of course, we're not talking about that kind of seal in which you seal a bag or seal something like that. We are talking about specifically the seal, the animal. So it is described here as a fish-eating mammal with flippers, which is what it is, and it comes from the Old English seol h, from Proto-Germanic sel khaz, and that's going to be coming from an unknown origin, perhaps borrowing from Finnic. So we are not exactly sure as to the origins specifically of how this came to be. But I think seal is a fantastic name for these little guys, almost as good as a new word that I learned today, which is pinniped. So I very much hope all of you have enjoyed this episode. If you want to have your animal on the podcast, be sure to follow the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts and send a message, or you can always send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. If you want to have Q&A sessions with me, Steph Wolf, where you can ask whatever you'd like and get in on those lesson plans that we're going to be doing in a little bit, you can become a patron over on Patreon. Thank you to those of you who are already patrons and supporting the show. It means the world in a time like this. Now, one thing that I think is funny before we end the show is I watched a couple of videos of elephant seals prior to making this episode. And for those of you who have never heard what an elephant seal sounds like, I very much suggest that you watch a YouTube video of it, but maybe turn the sound just a little bit down. So thank you all for tuning in to this episode with me as we sort of traversed the Antarctic and Arctic waters. I hope all of you have a fantastic rest or rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.